official now? Officially on?
Well, it is, it's really good to see everybody again. This is, I'm on the back side of my trip, and I'm a little wore out, to be honest, by this point in time. I've been going nonstop since I got here, and I woke up this morning and thought, man, I just would like to just keep sleeping, but it's really good to be here, and let's just start with some prayer. Father, I just want to thank you so much for who you are and what you've done, and the fact that you have a plan for each and every one of us, and you have a plan for your creation, and that your plan is unfolding, and your will in our lives is unfolding, and you are doing immeasurably more than we could think or ask. And Lord, in the midst of life and all the things happening in this world, we just ask that you help us to focus on you all the more. Help us to see you more clearly and know you more deeply and walk with you more intimately each and every step of our lives. And we ask that you might be a living presence in our lives. And Lord, we just come to you today just seeking to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, and I just ask that you continue to lead me by your Spirit for the message that you put on my heart to share today, Lord. And I just thank you for this opportunity to be here and to proclaim your word. And I just lift it up to you in your mighty name. Amen. So before I start, I just want to say thank you so much for your prayers and your support for the ministry that's happening in Oslo. And I have to say, it's been amazing to see what the Lord is doing and be a part of it. And when I was down in Raleigh, I was visiting with a pastor, a very good friend of mine. We were just talking about, you know, our old life and knowing who we are without Christ in our lives, and how amazing it is that Christ would do what he's done in our lives and then lead us into ministry and to do what we're doing. It's just amazing. And so I just want to say thank you for your continual prayers, your continual support, and I just want to share a little bit about what's been happening in Oslo and start with letting you know what your prayers and support are going to. And to do that, I want to share something that took place back in May. And my sending church in North Carolina, which is Summit, we have over 300 missionaries, long-term missionaries, scattered around the globe. And part of their ministry is what they call member care. So they have people who actually travel globally to meet with the missionaries and encourage them, as long as sending short-term trips. But in May, I had a visit by a guy named Dale and Vicky, and they wanted to come and, hey, we just want to come. We want to see what you're doing. We want to bless you. And so they came. And they came on a Monday night, and I took them to Bible night. And, you know, they sat in for the hour and 45 minutes worth of teaching. And then we got up the next day, and I took them to the university where I'm attending. And they got to meet the professors and hear about the program. And professors talked to them about me and the tutoring classes that I'm offering and how successful it's been. And I took them to Marisa Cafe and Mission Caring Cafe, just showing them the different ministries that the Lord has led me to start, and they're still going. And it was ironic just walking around Buffalo, we kept bumping into people that I know and people that I've, you know, been discipling. And on Tuesday evening, we are about to go to dinner, and Dale looks at me and says, "Jason, I have to tell you, we've spent 15 years traveling globally doing member care visits, and we need you to know that in the last 24 hours, you have shown us more ministry than we've seen in this whole past week visiting two different families in Sweden, and more ministry than we've seen globally with some of the missionaries that we visited. And I say that to you as people who have been supported about missions, what they have to say about the work that's taking place in Oslo. So I want you to know what you are a part of. You are helping this, what the Lord's will, to happen in Oslo. And I just happen to be the guy over there that's on boots on the ground doing the work. So I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for what you do and following the Lord for your support. It's just fantastic. And you know, I have to say that this whole situation, this whole encouragement came at a time when I really needed some encouragement. And I love how the Lord works. I love how when the Lord has a message for us, when the Lord wants to speak to us, He makes it very, very clear, very consistent, and He speaks to us in a number of different ways. And, you know, all this also coincides as I've been going through my personal Bible study in Revelation. You know, John keeps mentioning the word behold. In Revelation alone, John uses the word behold 25 times. You know, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 7, behold, He's coming with the clouds. In the seven letters, Jesus tells each of the seven churches to behold. Chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says, I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Chapter 3, verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. To behold, it's the Greek word "idou." It generally means to observe or to consider, and here in Revelation, it's usually written as an active impairment. It means you must be in the process of doing this thing. And that's caused me over the last few months to really stop and consider, what is it that I am beholding? What is it that I am continually in the process of being focused on? And that question has caused me to take a serious look at myself, a serious look at my ministry, a serious look at those I associate with and spend my time with. And in this process that the Lord's been taking me through, I've come to realize just how easy it is to remain focused here on the horizontal, here on the things in this world. And the result of that is what? When we get focused here on the horizontal, we often end up worried, fearful, full of anxiety, discouraged. You know, the list goes on and on. And in all this, the one thing that the Lord has made absolute clear to me is the necessity to stay vertically focused as opposed to horizontally focused. There's no other way. And it's been amazing to me to see how this message that the Lord has for me, He just keeps putting it before me in everything. And you see, prior to this huge encouragement that I got back in May, about a month earlier, I had an absolute huge discouragement. And the discouragement came from someone who I thought was a friend, someone I thought I had a good relationship with, someone I had even been roommates with, someone who was the pastor of my church. And based on his own opinion, his own agenda, without having any actual knowledge of what he was talking about, without even talking to me in over a year, he proceeded to say some things about me, said some things about my ministry behind my back that had a profound impact on me personally and my well-being. And the result of that, you know, it forced me to have a very critical conversation with my pastor. Someone I thought was my friend, you know. You know, and I have to admit, you know, when you're forced to have a critical conversation with your pastor because they're talking about you behind your back, that's, for me at least, that was a very challenging conversation that I had to have. Challenging even to realize that, how do I continue to look up to this person as my pastor, as someone that I'm supposed to submit to and sit under their teaching and their authority? And there's much more to this story, and there's no point to go to the details. You know, but I just want to say this whole discouraging thing, it really hit me in a number of different ways, in a number of different places in my life. But, one of my favorite words in the Bible, all this was coinciding exactly with where the Lord had me in His Word. And so let's turn to Revelation chapter 5. I will read for us the first 7 verses. And this is John talking about his personal experience of what he saw in the throne room up in heaven. And John says, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose the seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals.' And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." And again, what am I beholding? What are we beholding? You know, for me, in the situation that I was facing, there were some very practical, life-impacting issues that were before me. And just like in Mark chapter 4, you know, Jesus tells the disciples, "Let's get into the boat and go to the other side of the Galilee." And in that process of doing what the Lord asked them to do, what happened? They found themselves in the midst of a storm so severe that these seasoned fishermen who grew up on the Sea of Galilee, they were convinced that they were going to die in that storm. But they were concerned about the very real circumstances that they were facing. And it's the same for all of us. We often face circumstances in our lives that consume our attention. That's life. And it would be easy and very understandable if all of us keep beholding the current political, economic, social issues that are before all of us. Hard not to pay attention to it. And yet in those moments of what we're beholding, the question becomes, what is it that I'm beholding to help me to endure? To help me make it through, to comfort me in this situation? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we can see whatever we're focusing on outside the Lord, it all falls short. That despite our best efforts to comfort ourselves, to achieve our own personal piety or sanctification or achieve something or be comforted by something or someone, we never quite obtain the real thing, the real fulfillment that we're hoping to get. And it all comes back to the question, what am I beholding? And there's only one answer to this question that we all face, and that's Christ. You know, there's this man that I've been working with in Oslo, and he comes every week to the Bible teaching at Marita, and he keeps asking me, "Jason, can we meet? Can I talk to you?" And I do, but he keeps asking me the same question. "Tell me what I must do. Can we have a talk, and you tell me how I can live right? What are the things that I need to do to live right?" And I can't make it any clearer to him than I have. There's only one way for you to live right. You gotta have a relationship with the Lord. You gotta be grateful. growing in your relationship with Him through His Word. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man cleanse his way? Here's your question. How can I cleanse my way? What's the answer? By taking heed according to your word. To take heed doesn't just mean I read it and understand it. It means I read it, I understand it, and I do it. I'm going to implement it in my life. You know, to take heed is parallel to beholding it. It means to guard, to pay attention to observe, preserve, regard. And again, you know, what am I beholding? Am I beholding my own abilities? Am I beholding my own desires? Or am I beholding the Lord and who He is and what He has for me? And it's the issue that we all face. And it's the issue that comes up here in Revelation 5. So let's look again. We'll look here at verse 1 and 2. Just to read it again. And I saw in the right hand who sent him who sat on the throne a scroll, written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" You know, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve beheld the fact that the fruit was good for eating, they beheld the thought, if I eat this fruit, I can be like God. And in doing so, you know, what actually happened? They found themselves separated from God. Suddenly they became aware. They became self-conscious of their nakedness. They not only wanted to hide from God, they wanted to hide from each other and clothe their nakedness. And suddenly they were experiencing something that they had never experienced before. And that's shame. They were ashamed of themselves and they found themselves separated from the close relationship that they once had with God. And yet, what did God do at this very moment? God had a plan. And the entire biblical narrative is about God's unfolding plan to redeem and renew His creation. And step by step, this unfolding plan, God's been moving throughout all of history. Closer and closer and closer, we're getting to the completion of God's plan of cleansing and restoration. And now, you know, here in verse 1 and 2 in Revelation 5, we see God's plan coming to fruition. He has the scroll, the complete plan of cleansing and restoration. And the angel asked, "Who is worthy to open this scroll and to open its seals?" In other words, the angel is asking, who's worthy to complete God's plan of cleansing and restoration for all of creation? What happens? Verse 3. And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and look at it. And suddenly we see this long, quiet pause take place in heaven. And John says, verse 4. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and to read the scroll or to look at it. And God's plan seems to have taken a standstill. No one was found worthy to open the scroll. John weeps as the completion of God's plan just seems to hang in the moment. You know, and just like this moment that we see taking place in heaven, as we look around the world today, you know, it might seem like God's plan, you know, or that God's not in control. It can easily seem like God's plan is on hold as we focus on what's here on the horizon. And like John, as we face discouragement or difficulty or struggles, it might cause us to weep much. As it seems like there's no answer, there's no end to this thing that I just keep facing over and over again, or this situation that I find myself in. You know, and I'll speak to myself. You know, I have found myself at times really asking God, really in this? Are you really here? As you see me in this situation, do you really care? You know, and I have to admit, you know, as someone that was, the Lord made very clear to give up my job. I don't have a career to fall back on anymore. But to give up my job and to go overseas and to follow Him and do what He is putting in front of me to do. On one hand, you think, boy, that must take a lot of faith. And I have to admit to you, there are times overseas I have found myself asking these very questions. God, are you really in this? And yet the blessing, the huge blessing in it all is to know I have a relationship with the Lord. And I can sit here and say, God, I am doubting you right now. And God doesn't say, yeah, I know, get out of here, come back when you have more faith. That's not what God says at all. God says, because you have this relationship with me, you are welcome to come and talk to me about your struggles and your discouragement and your lack of faith, and I'm going to see you through it. And that's what I'm here to tell you today God's been doing. Verse 5. But one of the elders said to me, don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. You know, this but, this small three-letter word, it's one of my favorite words in the Bible because it can make such a difference. And so the angel says to John, you don't weep. Don't look at what appears to be missing. Don't focus on the emptiness. Don't focus on the discouragement. Behold, focus your attention on this and keep focusing it on this one thing. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. He has prevailed. Behold this one, step by step. He is completing God's plan of cleansing and restoration. Behold this one whom all the prophets spoke about. Behold this one. He came in the flesh just like they said He would. For those of you who like nerdy information, I'm one of them, so bear with me. There was a guy named Peter Stoner, and he was the chairman of the mathematics and astronomy departments at Pasadena College until 1953, and then he became the chairman of the science department at Westmont College in Santa Barbara. And him and his team got together, and they wrote a book called Science Speaks. And this book did a statistical analysis of the probability of Jesus fulfilling messianic prophecies. And they focused on 8 messianic prophecies. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem, a messenger will prepare the way for the Messiah, the Messiah will enter Jerusalem as a king riding on a donkey, the Messiah will be betrayed by a friend and suffer wounds in his hands, the Messiah will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. The betrayal money will be used to purchase a potter's field. The Messiah will remain silent while he's afflicted. The Messiah will die by having his hands and feet pierced. He looked at 8 of those messianic prophecies. And what the result, as the American Scientific Affiliation said, that their mathematical analysis was based upon principles of probability which were thoroughly sound. And what they found is that just one man fulfilling these 8 messianic prophecies, the probability of that was 1 in 10 to the 28th power. That's 1 in 100 quadrillion that Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David, came and fulfilled just 8 of the messianic prophecies. And the point of all that is God's got a plan. And God's plan is unfolding, and God's plan is at work, and God's plan is being fulfilled. Paul said it best, I think, Philippians 1, verse 3 through 6. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this one thing, he who has begun a good work in us is going to complete it. And we see throughout the whole biblical narrative, starting in Genesis all the way through the prophets, the Lord has stated this one will come. Through him, through the line of David, redemption is going to come. And salvation and cleansing and restoration to all creation. And so Jesus came, just like was prophesied about him. And this is the point that he says, and this is the point that the Lord has been driving home to me. I have to be mindful of what I am beholding. I have to get my eyes off of the horizontal and onto the vertical. Onto the living truth of who Christ is and Christ's living presence in my life. Because as we see here in Revelation, you know, despite what we might be seeing taking place here on the horizontal, there is a greater truth that's taking place in heaven. God's on the throne. And God's holding the scroll. His plan of cleansing and restoration for all of creation and His Son, the Lamb of God, is ready to complete that plan. He's ready to do it not only in all of creation, but in each and every one of our lives. And this is the point the Lord has just keeps bringing me back to us. I was facing some very real disappointment. Some very real practical implications on me and my ministry. And yet, despite the circumstances, I just have to keep asking myself, am I staying focused on the fact that God is on the throne? Am I just remembering that God has control over me? That God's the one that's keeping me in His will? And throughout this whole process that I've been going through, you know, the Lord just keeps bringing me back to this point and focusing me on the one thing that I need to focus on most, and I believe it's the one thing that we all need to focus on the most. Verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits that God sent out into all the earth. See, despite the appearances, God's plan is coming to fruition. The great truth of all truth is the fact that the Lion of the tribe of Judah came in the flesh to be the Lamb of God. As John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It is the Lamb who went to the cross. It's the Lamb who was buried, who is resurrected. And it's the Lamb who is now, as we speak, this moment, standing in heaven. He has seven horns. He has all power. He has seven eyes. He is all seeing. He has seven spirits. He has the complete filling of God. And He sends out to all the earth. He is the one who is omnipresent. Anne's not paying attention. And He is the one who is prepared to complete God's plan and cleansing and restoration in this broken world and each and every one of our lives. And if this is the truth, and we're living in this relationship with this one, why would we not keep our eyes focused on this one who is all powerful, all knowing, always all present, looking to Him for the solutions for the things we face here on the horizontal, and living in the hope that He has put before us for eternal life with Him. So verse 7. And then He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. He came, the worthy one, and took the scroll. The completed work of God's plan of cleansing and restoration for all creation, He has taken the scroll. He's the only one worthy to take the scroll. And that's what we need to be focused on. You know, behind the scenes of all the craziness here on earth, there are events taking place in heaven as we speak. Christ is alive. We don't worship a dead God. We worship a God who is alive and living. And step by step, His plan is unfolding. And that's what the Lord's been keeping me focused on. As I have faced, you know, some real discouragement. I've some pastor who had his own agenda and his own opinion about me and didn't even know what he was talking about, and yet impacted me by his, you know, the things he had to say behind my back. But again, God's in control. And he kept reminding me through this whole process, Jason, what are you beholding? Are you going to behold me? Or are you going to get discouraged because someone who didn't even know what they were talking about impacted you? And I have to praise God because through this whole process, he's just been keeping me focused here in the Word. And the amazing part of this whole experience that's been taking place is it culminated with this visit of this member care visit from Summit Church. You know, and not only did they look at me and say, Jason, you know, you've shown us more ministry in the past 24 hours than we saw in the last week with two different families in Sweden, and more ministry than we've seen with some missionaries around the world. But, you know, Dale looked at me and proceeded to tell me, you know, Jason, I'm on the committee that oversees all the funding that the church gives to missionaries. And I'm going to go back to the church and I'm going to tell them exactly what I see happening here in Oslo and exactly what you have shown us in your ministry here. You know, and as a result, the church decided to increase my funding. They set it up for me to get a free eye exam and they paid for my glasses. They gave me money to buy new clothes. At the last minute, our Mini Cooper died and I had to get a rental car, which cost $960, and the church said, don't worry about it, we'll pay for it. I've been blessed immensely, and I'm amazed by it, by what God is doing. You see, despite how life may seem at times, God's not forgotten us. He's not forsaken us. For all of eternity, he has had one focus, and that is to bring restoration and redemption to his creation, and to bring us home to live eternally with him. You know, I'm challenged to get my eyes off this horizontal, because the horizontal can seem so real, so big, and get my eyes focused on the vertical. And my prayer, my hope for each and every one of you, the message that I just want to keep proclaiming and asking the Lord that we might have a fresh view of him, that he might be a real and living presence in our lives. And that is why we need to just be beholding him. We need him to be more than a theology, more than someone's prophetic word, more than our own concepts of who he is. We need him, the truth of who he is, to be the living presence in our lives. And so let us behold him. Active imperative. Do it and keep doing it. And don't stop doing it. Let us stay in his word. Let us continue to lift each other up. Let's be willing to be completely open and honest with the Lord, admit our failures, admit our needs, and our great need for him to be the living presence in our lives. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father, I just want to thank you so much. I want to thank you for what you have done and what you are continuing to do, Lord. And I just want to ask that you help each and every one of us. You know what we're facing in our lives. You know the things that we struggle with in our lives. You know the things that we hope for in our lives. You know the things that we stumble over. And Lord, I just want to ask that you might come and give each and every one of us a fresh revelation over yourself. And help us, Lord. As easy as it is to focus on things in the horizontal, to get our eyes fixed on you and to behold you, the living one, the omniscient one, the all-powerful one. Knowing that you're with us, knowing you have not chosen us to forget us, that you have a plan for us, you have a will for us, and it is unfolding. And Lord, we just want to ask that you help us to remember that. We thank you and we praise you that you have given us this opportunity to live in a growing and living relationship with you. We thank you and we praise you for all of it in your name. Amen and amen. That's all I got. That's what we have. So, yeah. Wednesday I head back to Oslo and pick up where I left off. So, Bible night starts back up mid-August. We're going to go through the book of James this fall. So in spring I'm writing my bachelor's thesis on the book of James. I'm like, okay, I need to kill two birds with one stone here. So I'll study and teach James in fall, write my bachelor's thesis on James in spring, and then in spring when I'm going to be super busy, I'll teach First John, because I've taught First John before, and it'll be easy for me to put it together. I'll probably do Second and Third John, and maybe even Jude to fill out the time. But so Bible night will be happening. Bible night is very intensive. It's an hour and 45 minutes of teaching every week, and I'm in it, teaching them verse by verse. But it's been fantastic to see who's coming, and you know we've got a Muslim guy who young guy who came as a refugee from Somalia, and because he became a Christian, his entire family is disassociated with him. So you can imagine leaving your country and moving somewhere as a refugee, and now suddenly because of your faith, your family doesn't want anything to do with you. And, another girl from Eritrea, and we have a new believer from China, and of course a bunch of Norwegians. It's just been fantastic. And, of course, the Bible teaching at Teresa Cafe with drug addicts, that continues. The homeless cafe at Mission Kirchen for the homeless guys that stay in the shelter, that continues. School is going very well. The school gave me a kind of part-time, I don't really want to call it teaching position, but a tutoring position, and I'm helping grade papers. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but there has been some things mentioned by the school that because of the success that my tutoring classes have had, and just my presence on campus, I've been greatly encouraged to stay and pursue a master's, which would potentially turn into a teaching position for the international program. I don't know what the Lord's will is. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I just want to take one step at a time and do exactly what He has for me. And right now, that's simply continuing the ministry that He's been putting before me, and also, and it's like I said, it's a huge blessing to be a part of it, and I want you to know that I see you're as much a part of it as, you know, I'm just the guy over there, but you practically, with your prayers and your support, have been making it happen, and So thank you, and let's just keep focused on the Lord and praising Him, and I just want to encourage you, behold